und herzlich willkommen bei Multilingual Stories. Mein Name ist Dr. Bettina Gruber und ich bin die Linguistin. Ich unterstütze voller Begeisterung mehrsprachige Familien mit Herz und Verstand auf ihrem individuellen Weg, damit ihre Kinder alle Familiensprachen erfolgreich und mit Leichtigkeit lernen können. In meinem Podcast bekommst du sehr persönliche Geschichten von Mehrsprachigkeit aus der ganzen Welt zu hören. Lehn dich zurück und lass dich inspirieren. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Multilingual Stories. Today's guest is Ina Figotina. We just discussed her name in detail and I'm sure she'll tell us in a minute why and what's going on with her name and how to pronounce it correctly. Hi, Ina. It's so nice to have you in my podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak with you today. Like you said, my name is Ina Figotina, but I typically go by Figotina because I find that it's easier for especially people in Canada, that is where I live, to pronounce it as Figotina.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that it rhymes. And you did write a children's book, so that also, you know, that goes well with the rhyme. But so where does the pronunciation come from originally? What's your background? Where are your roots?
So I'm Russian. I was born in Moscow, Russia, and I immigrated to Canada when I was 7 years old. And I've lived in Canada for over 20 years. And my book that you mentioned is all about my journey to becoming trilingual. So I speak three languages, Russian, English, and French.
Tell us about your journey. So you grew up monolingually the first 7 years, is that correct?
Yes.
So what do you remember about coming to Canada?
So before I immigrated to Canada, I faced my first challenge during my language learning journey when I was learning my mother tongue, which was Russian. So when I was born, I had a brain hemorrhage, and it impacted my speech development as a child. So when I was learning Russian, I really struggled with my speech. And my parents took me to a speech language pathologist who helped me to overcome my challenges when speaking Russian. And this is something that I mention in the book because this is not widely discussed. Because I feel like there is perhaps a stigma that exists about seeking help in particular, particularly in terms of speech development. And I think that it is so important to have this early intervention at an early age. I believe I was 4 years old when we started with the speech language pathologist. And even though I was young, I remember, I think about my sessions. I still remember the sessions that I had with her. And I think of her fondly because I remember I really enjoyed having the sessions, even though it was frustrating going through doing the exercises. For example, I really struggled rolling my R's. And in Russian, the letter R is you have to roll your tongue in order to correctly pronounce it. And I wasn't able to do that. So we would be doing exercises to help me be able to do that. And so even though it was challenging and frustrating when I couldn't roll my R's, I still remember though that I enjoyed the time that I had the sessions with the speech language pathologist, and I still remember that first time when I was successful and I was able to do it. I just felt this overwhelming sense of pride and joy because I had worked so hard to with the specialists to be able to do it.
So, and they knew for sure that this was connected to your brain hemorrhage?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So because you mentioned early intervention, there's something I would like to say in this case, or I feel like I need to add, if people are listening. So, you know, there's many reasons why people may seek a speech language therapist or pathologist. And 4 years is not really early intervention anymore, right? That's rather late actually already. Although with the particular challenge that you had, you know, it's a great time to do that. But, you know, in case you're listening right now and your child does experience challenges with the speech development, do not hesitate to contact professionals earlier than that, because early intervention can start as early as 2 years old. They can even work with children younger than 2 years, but usually they start around the age where children actually start talking, around 2 years of age. So if you listen to this and you think, you know, you are struggling or you're wondering whether you should or shouldn't, you know, just go and do it and have your kid checked out, even if your kid is as young as 2 years old, maybe. Because, you know, in the best case scenario, they send you home and say, you know, everything's fine, don't worry. And otherwise they can help you. And as you mentioned, Ina, the sooner you intervene, the better long-term at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. And at the time that I started with the speech language pathologist, there were no plans for us to immigrate. Although I was intended to start in an English immersion school, so I would be learning English as my second language, originally the plan was for me to study it in Moscow as my second language. But after a few years, our family plans changed and my parents decided to immigrate to Toronto, Canada. That is where I live to this day. And so I would unknowingly, I would be learning English as my second language, but I would be learning it immersed in an Anglophone speaking community in Toronto. And then not only would I be learning English as my second language, I would also start learning French as my third language at the same time, because I'm not sure if you knew, but in Canada, we have two official languages and it is mandatory for children to learn French in school. Shortly after I immigrated, I started learning English right away. And then about 6 months later, French started for me at school as well. So it was quite a challenge that I faced, not only with the immigration and starting life over in a completely different country and on a different continent, but also in terms of this language acquisition that I had to do at the same time.
What was the biggest challenge for you that you remember having?
The biggest challenge, I would say, was not having anyone in my family speak English or French. Mm-hmm. So it was really up to my teachers and additional supports that my parents got for me to guide me and to help me, because although my mom went to an English immersion school in Moscow when she was a child, so she learned, although she learned British English, mm-hmm. So she did know English, but she wasn't very fluent. And my dad did not speak English at all. And nobody in my family speaks French, even to this day.
To this day.
So I'm the only trilingual person in the family. And I do want to mention, I have a very small family. I'm an only child and it's just my parents and I. So I would say that was my biggest challenge. Although my parents were extremely supportive of me learning all of these languages. They hired me a wonderful tutor who I was with for 5 years, who supported me at the same time that I was learning French at school. I decided that I wanted to be a French teacher at a young age, and my parents were very supportive of that as well. They could see how much I loved learning languages and that I had a passion for teaching and helping others in French class. So although they were extremely supportive, they could not support me in the actual language learning journey because they did not know the language themselves.
So on the other side, I mean, the upside of the whole story, and you know, it, you know, I and most people would not even have recommended your parents speaking English or French with you had they known it, unless it were one of their actual languages, right? The absolute upside of the whole story is that your Russian must still be fluent.
Yes, I am still fluent in Russian. And I have to say, the order that I learned the languages, so first it was Russian, then English, then French, that also really helped me in my language learning journey because Russian has a lot of similarities to French, in particular with the grammar. Mm-hmm. And English and French have a lot of similarities as well. The alphabet, a lot of the vocabulary. So the order in which I learned the languages really helped me. But yes, I do speak Russian fluently. I can read and write in Russian as well.
When did you learn that? Where did you learn?
I learned it in Moscow.
So in Russia still.
The 7 years that I lived there, yeah.
All right.
And it has helped that my parents are fluent in Russian, so we continue to speak Russian so that I don't forget. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. It's very true what they say.
Yes. So to a slightly more serious topic, but I had this issue with clients in Europe, Russian-speaking clients in Europe, who found it difficult after the war started in the Ukraine. They found it difficult to speak Russian with their children on the streets because they were facing quite a few, or were also afraid of discrimination and being looked at and being judged. Did you experience anything like that in Toronto as well?
So when I immigrated to Toronto... personally, I haven't experienced this in Toronto, but I could see why...
All right. So this hasn't affected you. All right.
But no, not me personally.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. I work with a lot of parents and then, you know, they want to pass on Russian to their children and then they are hesitant. And they started, you know, I started getting a lot of messages all of a sudden of Russian parents in Europe asking me, you know, what am I going to do now? Can I still speak Russian with my child? So I was curious how you experienced that over the past few months. Basically, it's not been that long. But I'm glad to hear that you did not face any of these issues. So you're a teacher, you're a French teacher. Who do you teach?
I teach elementary age children. So this year I'm teaching grade 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. So they are 9, 10 years old, but I have taught all the way up to grade 8. So that would be around 14 years. And I really love what I do. I love teaching French. And you can see that clearly, if I chose to be a French teacher, I have a real love for the language. And I love sharing this love for the French language with my students.
Cool. So tell us about your book. You wrote a book as part of your master's thesis, if I understand correctly. Did you know that I also offer one-on-one consultations and packages in English? If you are currently facing challenges in your multilingual family life, or if you simply don't know how to best include all your languages, just send me an email and tell me about your struggles. I promise you, you can overcome whatever hurdles you are facing. Just drop me a line and I will personally get back to you. I look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, that's right. So I completed my Master of Education in Modern Languages Education as part of a French cohort with the University of British Columbia. And I finished the program in December 2020, and that is when my book was published. So I published a bilingual children's book, Celebrating Multilingualism. Mm-hmm. And the story is about my journey of how I became trilingual. And the book is written in both English and French, and it rhymes in both languages.
Wow. And, how did you do that?
I would say that the most challenging part of writing my book was to make it rhyme in French as well as in English, because I wanted to keep the level of the vocabulary basic enough for students learning French as their second or third language to understand it, but also to make sure that the story does rhyme in French as well. And I'm very proud of the fact that I was able to do that.
Because you should be, yeah.
Thank you. And the reason that I chose to do this as my thesis project for my master's was because as a French teacher, I had trouble finding resources for my students, in particular for my immigrant students or my students who came from immigrant families that represented them and that talked about the journey of learning a new language, and not just the positives that occur during this journey, but also the perseverance that is needed to overcome all of the challenges. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has faced several challenges throughout her language learning journey, I wanted to write this autobiographical children's book. And the reason that I wrote it in both English and French is because this book is a celebration of second language acquisition, which is why I wrote it in my second languages.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Are there any plans for other language combinations?
Not at this time, but perhaps in the future, I will do that.
So where's the book available?
The book is available on Amazon, mm-hmm. and it is also available worldwide at your favorite online bookstore.
Amazing. That's really cool. What is it called?
It is called Trilingual Me, mm-hmm. Moi Trilingue.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Congratulations on that book. So what's the age group? What's the target group? What would you say?
So because the book is bilingual, so it could be read by children anywhere from ages 4 up to 12, depending on where they are in their language learning process. So this is a great book to do as a read aloud in the classroom, and also for multilingual families to have it on their bookshelves at home to share it as an inspirational story of language learning with their children who they're raising to be multilingual.
Amazing. Yeah, that's really nice. I see the book. So whoever's watching the video, and if you're not watching the video, you know, you can find it on YouTube and then you can check out the book in the background. But we will, of course, share a link in the show notes of the podcast. So if you're interested in the book, just follow the link and you can see all the details. Amazing. Ina, is there anything that you would still like to share about your journey? Anything that you experienced that you think might be interesting to our listeners? Anything I haven't asked yet?
I would like to share that based on what I went through, despite all of the challenges that you might face when raising your child to be multilingual, with perseverance and a positive mindset, it can be done. This is coming from someone who had trouble learning her first language, and now I am trilingual, and I am a teacher teaching in my third language and a bilingual children's author. So despite how frustrating the journey can be, it can be successful if you persevere.
That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I always say, you know, if I were allowed to only share one single advice for parents, you know, the one single advice I'd give would be never quit. Just do not stop. talking, speaking, celebrating your language, including your culture. Just never stop. So yeah, that aligns very well with what you just said. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today, Ina. And I wish you all the best for your book. And I hope that many people will now click on the link and check it out.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.